So, for those that just read this and go on with their day, you might have sat at the end of this reading going, well, that's kind of a paradox. At least I hope you did, and then my sermon is titled correctly. Because it is kind of a paradox, right? I mean, Jesus starts out by saying, what? The truth, the elephant in the room that we know. We like to whine, do we not? We like to complain. We want somebody else to fix our problems, amen? Sure. And we're not usually happy with the results. We've always got something that could be better that we want to complain about. I mean, Billy and I were doing it this morning because we're talking about the Braves game today, right? Amen? And it's going to be on some weird station that is going to ask me in order to watch the game to pay for a subscription. All right? But look, folks, I'm sitting here rather annoyed. You know why I'm annoyed? Because I'm already paying a cable bill every month. And now all of a sudden, in order to watch a program that I think I ought to be able to watch, they're going to charge me more money for it. Amen? How many of you drove somewhere during the week and did not like the conditions that you were faced with in traffic? Amen? How many of you watched a little bit of TV and was really unhappy with the commercials that they were playing? How many of you went by a synagogue and was distressed to see the Nazis standing out in front of the synagogue flashing their logos and their protests? See, we don't seem to ever be happy. We're always bitching and moaning about something. When John came along and was talking about giving people a way of life and he attracted all these crowds, the leadership didn't like that because they said, what? This guy's nuts. He's not eating the right food. He's hanging out in the desert. He's not somebody that we should trust. Oh, and by the way, he's calling us to account. Amen?
He's eating with people he shouldn't be eating.
Sounds familiar.
Amen. And then Jesus come along, and it's just the opposite. He invites everybody in, likes to party a little bit, enjoys eating for sure, and they criticize that. Which, I want to tell you something, folks, if you're trying to satisfy the religious leaders who are telling you how to live in order to be okay with God, I got news for you. You're wasting your time. Stop. Just stop. Because you're never, never going to satisfy them. Now, to give you the exegetical work for today's reading, these three sayings that Jesus talked about, they were probably attributed to him at different times. Again, this is kind of like the Sermon on the Mount. It's not really a sermon, okay? This is stuff that the author weaved together to make a particular point. And the point that I want us to pay attention to today is at the end. Because that's where this paradox comes from. Because everybody sits there and goes, well, you know, it's not easy to be a Christian. Because, you know, we got all these rules. We got all these creeds. We got all this stuff that we're supposed to do in order to be a Christian. We got to accept Jesus as our personal Savior. We got to do church correctly. I'm here to tell you this morning that you don't have to do any of that. All you have to do is listen to what Jesus is saying to you. It's not a complicated thing, folks. And so today's point that I, as a matter of fact, I made it to welcome to the new week. Right? It comes from, originally, Jesus is quoting it actually out of Ecclesiastes. You know, that look, this is what it's about. Being at peace with God. Jesus promises rest from the burdens that we carry. And somebody asked me this week, well, okay, so fine, Pastor, what are we getting rest from? Okay, how about this? Legalism. How about if we get peace from judgment? How about the weight of anxiety from worry that we're not doing the right thing to please God? Because Jesus' message from the beginning of his ministry to the end was that God has made you wonderfully and uniquely in God's image, and that's enough. It's not about church rules, folks. It's not about church laws. It's not about dogma. It's not, as a friend of mine always says, it is not about the show on Sunday morning. It is about understanding the love that God has for you. Reading the gospel. Not only is Jesus speaking of lifting the burdens of religion that some of us carry, but what the religious leaders tie to our back, the endless rules, the regulations concerning what we can and cannot do, not only at work and at play and at home and at the church. Jesus broke radically with the religious pattern of the day that had been established by the God-fearing people of the day. He ate and drank while others fasted. He plucked grain while others didn't do a lick of work and looked upon him with disapproval. He rejoiced in God while others prayed to God not to hurt him. Now, folks, think about that for a minute. Is that a different kind of prayer or what? If you pray to God because you love God and because God loves you, or you spend your time praying to God going, God, don't hurt me. Yeah, when you talk about Jesus taking away your burdens, there's a huge burden that gets taken away from you at that point. Because it is a different way of thinking. In my office during the week, I deal with people that are overwhelmed with all kinds of stuff, conflict. You end up doing counseling for people that have hassles with others, hassles with the activities of their children, hassles with their in-laws, hassles with their jobs, hassles where they live. The one thing I have learned, the one thing that is most important, is that the folks that are the happiest are not the people who give up doing things. You can be busy doing things and keeping you busy and your life full, but it's not a hassle. Anybody want to take a guess what that might be? Oh, yeah, right. That's what Jesus taught us. You know anybody that needs a drink of water? Give them some water. You know anybody that needs a ride? Give them a ride. Do you know somebody who's sad and could use a hug? Give them a hug. Man, we've been talking about this for 2 or 3 weeks. It's really simple stuff. It is not complicated. And by the way, you don't need a rule to tell you to do that. All you have to do is recognize the command of Jesus, which said, I give you this command, that you love one another as I have loved you. And how did Jesus love us? Well, I will give you this, folks. It would not be me doing one of these teaching sermons if I didn't say get out a pen and paper and write down some things, all right? And here are 10 disciplines that you could do this week that will make this whole idea about an easy burden really easy. And understanding that it isn't about law and order, that it isn't about dogma and creeds. Are you ready? Start writing. Here are the 10 ways that you can have some simplicity in your life this week. First, only buy things for their usefulness rather than their status. Well, that cuts out a lot of commercials, doesn't it? Second, reject anything that is producing an addiction in you. Third, develop a habit of giving things away. Fourth, refuse to be propagandized by the custodians of modern gadgetry. Did you like that? I wish I could take credit for that, but this is Richard Foster's Celebration of Discipline, and this is his list. But I love that one. Refuse to be propagandized by the custodians of modern gadgetry. Yeah, that's you when you see that commercial that comes on TV, and for $19.99, fifth, learn to enjoy things without owning them. Instead, own your faith. Sixth, develop a deeper creation for the creation. I'm sorry, a deeper appreciation for the creation. We can do that right now. See? There it is. It's all around you. God speaks to you. Do you hear those kids playing? The birds singing? The beauty of the forest around us? Seventh, look at a healthy skepticism at all, buy now and pay later. Man, if you want to know peace, don't buy now and pay later. Because I can tell you how much you're going to pay later. Amen? Eighth, obey Jesus' instructions about plain, honest speech.
Say that again?
Obey Jesus' instructions about plain, honest speech.
Plain.
You don't have to swear to God to do anything. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Ninth, reject anything that will breed the oppression of others. That's not hard to figure out. If it's going to hurt somebody, don't do it. And finally, shun whatever would distract you from your main goal, which is to seek first the kingdom of God. And that kingdom, folks, today is right in front of you. God bless you. Amen.